Coffee Time Wednesdays with the Prairie Farm Podcast.
Can't hit us with the jingle. Do-do-do-do-do.
Kent, what'd you have for lunch today?
My lunch, I want to say is none of your business, but it kind of was your business. You saw
Don't
it.
Lie to me. I was staring right at you while you ate it. I know.
I had stratified carbohydrates. All right. Look, my wife just got back from visiting her family in New Hampshire.
Ken had all the kids.
The food, yeah.
It worries me what they ate all weekend.
And believe it or not, we did not eat out very much over the weekend. We just kind of like survived.
I'm not going to pressure you, but come on, for real, you should tell everybody what you ate for lunch.
So I had some slices of ham lunch meat. I think it was about four slices.
Yep. I watched him eat every one of those, and he didn't roll them all up together. He peeled each one apart separately, knowing all of his calories were very limited today.
I'm a survivor, Nick. I scrounge up them calories.
Brother, I know how much you get paid. Just go to Hy-Vee.
So I got nobody gets paid enough to go to Hy-Vee.
Oh my god, that's true. That's true. Go to Fairway.
Yeah.
We endorse Fairway here.
We want to have a billionaire on this podcast sometime, mm-hmm. and we can ask them if they choose Hy-Vee. You know, I asked Nick a good billionaire question the other day.
What was that?
Notice how I'm avoiding telling what all my lunch consisted of?
Don't worry. I'll put it in at the end.
We were at Menards, and we saw the rental truck out there in the parking lot, the Menards rental pickup truck. Or as a coworker of mine used to call them, pick-em-up trucks.
Pick-em-up trucks.
So the Menards pick-em-up truck, you can rent for 17.
Pick-em-up truck? That sounds terrible. That sounds like you're going to Menards and you're like picking up a bunch of like part-time laborers. Like, hey, hop in, get in the pick-em-up.
That's not what I thought of.
Oh,
but
man, I didn't understand
you
that.
It could be. I don't know. You just took that like really down a.
Well, I'm thinking, what's that movie where Jim Carrey loses his job? Dick and Jane. He like loses his job.
I think Jim Carrey loses his job in most of his movies that he's in.
That's fair.
Especially in Dumb and Dumber, Mutz Cuts or whatever. No, he's the chauffeur that rear ends somebody or something like that.
I don't know. Anyway, please continue to not tell us about what you ate for lunch today.
Well, we walked out and there's that pickup truck. Notice how I corrected just in case the term is insensitive. Just to be clear, I have no idea.
I don't think it is.
So we walk out and we see that you can rent that truck for $17.95 an hour. And I asked Nick, if you were a billionaire, as a billionaire power move.
Oh, that's right.
Would you just rent that truck every day, all day, forever? And just be like, yeah, I'm so rich. I can spend $17.95 an hour and not even worry about it. What's your answer, Nick? Would you make that power
I
move?
Did not become a billionaire wasting money like that. I'll tell you what. I didn't do that. Everyone who becomes a billionaire either had a lot of plastic surgery and got really pretty, or...
I don't even think that's doable.
No, that's for real doable.
Oh, you're talking about like somebody who marries into it?
Kylie Jenner did it.
Somebody who marries into it type
no,
thing?
No. Kylie Jenner got really pretty through plastic surgery. And through that made a brand.
Again, talking about things that I know nothing about.
And now she's worth over $1 billion. Isn't that really crazy?
Yeah. I got to think that, you know, she probably made a few smart moves in there.
No, that's true. I mean, she's obviously not dumb. She's making good business decisions. But the business decisions are based on her looks, which are created by a human surgeon.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Prairie Farm Podcast. We're talking about Kylie Jenner's...
And billionaire power moves.
Oh, man. Anyway, no, I would not rent that truck as a power move. If I did anything as a power move, I'd pull the Warren Buffett power move and live in a small ranch house my whole life and never upgrade. That's my power move.
I bet you Paul Adama could one-up that if he was a billionaire.
I bet Paul Adama could live in like a shack. Not
bet,
like, oh,
I
I'm
bet
not
he'd a- live in a car. And if you, in that car would be a Geo.
My biological dad lives in a car right now.
I thought he had a camper or an RV.
Well, it's a van. It was a 12 passenger
van. It's a vamper.
Van. Yep. Not even a 15 passenger. It was a 12 passenger. They're in Maine right now. It's pretty cool, actually. He sends me pictures. so many pictures, so many pictures every single day.
That's good. That's good. Maybe he's listening to this right now.
Yeah. If you are, Dad, sorry I haven't responded in the last 342 pictures. No, but he says the pictures, it seems like a good time. Whoa, we have gone a long way into
this.
It's because
we're recording at the end of the day, Nick.
Oh, guys, we did a lot. I mixed seed. My friend called me in the middle of working today, and he's like, are you sorting seed? I thought that was funny. And I said, no, I'm doing literally the opposite. I'm mixing the seeds. Kent is sorting the seeds.
Yeah, curse you.
But when he first said it, I heard squirting. He's like, are you squirting the seeds? I'm like, no, I am not. Oh, man, dude.
Refuse to comment on such things.
Of squirting the seeds. Okay, for anyone who's listening, Kent had a sack that he had put like four different kinds of chips in. It's like, where are you going? He had four different kinds of chips, and he was eating these chips.
You're using too many like offensive terms.
I am so tired. Okay, you know why I'm so tired?
You're like doing the ultimate moist usage right now.
I haven't had
all these words coffee that make people shudder, and you're putting them into sentences, and it's weird.
So Kent's got this bag, guys. No, Kent had a bag, and in this baggie, he had four different kinds of chips. And that was his lunch, plus the four pieces of like meat
and
claimed to be meat.
And a banana that was on the border of being edible.
It had two brown spots.
No, it was pretty brown. I had to do some double checking this morning.
Well, no, I mean, the outside can be as brown as you want. The inside had two brown spots.
And I had two high chews as well.
That's true. And he gave me one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to that. It's like the five loaves and two fishes right there. I was so generous. My meager food. Shared
also,
it.
Anybody wondering why that boy was carrying around a meal for five people back then?
Five loaves and two fishes?
He's
a grown boy.
That's a lot of food.
You read between the lines and maybe he was like a little chunky boy?
Brother, this goes right into what we're talking about on my end today. What is in hot dogs? Ooh. I was looking up more relevant conservation things.
Dude, I love hot dogs. I know. I've read, not the whole book, but I read sections of The Jungle, you know, Upton Sinclair, the Chicago meat packing facilities in like the teens and 20s.
Yeah, they're why we have the FDA.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
They're why my life is hard right now starting a coffee shop.
I love hot dogs. They're just so good.
Yeah.
All right.
I just had two hot dogs. No, you know, there's nothing crazy. It's actually like just meat. It's the leftover scraps of meat in most cases. You can get really high-end hot dogs, but for the most part, it's just leftover scraps of meat and that's it. And then the casing is like sugar and some preservatives, basically like
Windex,
you know, Roundup and the other things. And bro, did I tell you? I think I did tell you. I have a friend whose dad got cancer who worked around Roundup.
And, oh, really?
And somehow the people from RFK's lawsuit found out he worked in an area around Roundup, even though his doctors hadn't been like, oh yeah, this is probably Roundup. Even though the doctors hadn't like put those two together, someone else did on that lawsuit, called him, said, hey, can we put your name on this? And he's like, I guess, sure. Woke up one day, $70,000 in his bank account.
Hey, that's from that lawsuit. Nice.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. That's so crazy. That's good. You know, if he got it from Roundup, he
pays for about two cancer treatments.
I know, dude. Yeah. Cause I know someone who is going through cancer, and obviously they have insurance, but it was like $15,000 for the year out of pocket, and it was like $1.4 million billed to insurance. Just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so it doesn't quite pay, but it is nice that, you know, people are getting a little bit of money out of that. But
Yeah, I know. It's definitely not quite there. But also Bear. Bear, the owner of Mount Santo, the owner of Roundup. I need to look this up to confirm. I'm going to look it up while you're talking. But I believe I heard the other day that they are the most, they have paid the most money in settlements of any company ever. Mm. Like, it's such a big part of their expense that they have to like factor that in when they sell things. Like, okay, well, like 2% of all earnings end up going to settlements. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a, you know what? I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. So, but it does get interesting when you start to look into stuff like that. But
the reason I brought up hot dogs, because I had a turkey hot dog today, and it just didn't hit the spot. Did not do it. I know people hate on turkey bacon. I don't mind turkey bacon.
I like turkey.
Yeah. But, and honestly, turkey is cooked so poorly at Thanksgiving that it has a bad rap. And it's like all white meat. White meat freaking sucks compared to dark meat.
You gotta eat yourself a turkey leg.
Yeah, I know. But you know who goes first? My grandpa, who is on the carnivore diet, who only pulls off the legs at Thanksgiving. And then he's like, don't worry, you guys can have everything else. Like, that's the only thing I wanted.
Are you a skin eater?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big skin eater.
I love one of our favorite things. So this is not turkey, but chicken.
We're talking about bird skin eating. Okay. Yeah, I eat those too.
There again with the awkward words. But we like to eat whole roasted chickens. Our family does.
And you guys do rotisserie chickens, or do you roast them yourself?
We roast them ourselves. My son Jonas, big fan of the skin. I just love how when you eat a whole animal like that, you're getting so many more like trace elements and nutrients in your diet. You know, both macro and micronutrients. Yeah. You know,
that's why you got to do bone broth afterwards, because you soak that nutrients out.
There's cartilage. There's a lot of lipids.
My brother tried the carnivore diet for a while, and he said bone broth saved his life because he wasn't enjoying any of the food. He was like, after a while, I couldn't stand the meat. You know, and I know that's not everyone's experience, but what he'd do is he made bone broth, get a full rotisserie chicken, make tons of bone broth out of it, and he'd do egg drop soup, drop soup. Kind of interesting, but I just wanted to talk about what was in hot dogs. I thought it was going to be way worse. I looked up three different places and they all kind of agreed it's just the scraps of meat.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that probably at one time deserved the bad rap that they still hold, but they probably don't deserve it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, remember the low hanging fruit, in some ways it still is, whenever you're going to bash on a food place, it's like, bash on McDonald's. But like, when you think about it, McDonald's is one of the first ones to be putting like their nutrition facts on the menu. They were one of the first fast food places to come out with like multiple non, you know, fried beef options. They had, you know, and not just chicken nuggets, but they had like real chicken sandwiches. They were also one of the first fast food restaurants to come up with salads. And so I used to think when people bash on McDonald's all the time, I was like, wait a minute, aren't they the ones that are like, they're actually responding to this? And I feel like that's happened with hot dogs too. It's like, okay, yeah, everyone makes fun of hot dogs all the time. And I think, you know, these commercial meat processing plants, they probably have like tapped into that and been like, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to make them, you know, in a way that's not near as scary as what the urban legend that persists claims, you know.
One of my best friends used to work at a Tyson chicken factory. He was third shift, and that was the cleaning shift. So he had like one machine he was responsible. He had like 9 hours or something to get it cleaned before the next crew came in that morning, you know, working through the night. And he said it actually was very by the book. Everyone was very by the book in that. Yeah. So, and I don't have as big of an issue with how Tyson treats their food safety and health. It's more just like a monster conglomerate.
The system,
and the, as we talked, dude, I re-listened to Tom Philpott's episode. People, go back and listen to that. I was there and heard everything he said, and I learned so much going back. Please, please. And I even say at the end of the episode, hey, I don't normally say this, but you should come back to this episode every once in a while. I was like, we recorded like a year ago, 9 months ago, something. But it was really good. And episode 85. But he talked about the antibiotics, I believe, that basically help these chicks grow super quickly. And
well, that would be a hormone. that helps them grow quickly.
It was like something that we use, the doctors prescribe to people, that now is not working as well because we're actually getting it in our meat.
Oh. Well, I mean, an antibiotic could be used to, you know, ward off sickness and infection. But
yeah.
But a hormone would be used for...
No, no, re-listen to it because he talked about it and it was like... I can't remember. I think it is antibiotics.
I've heard both of those as like both of those as arguments against, you know, large grade meat production, like factory meat, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the use of antibiotics and hormones as both as reasons for you know, being concerned about where your meat comes from.
Dude, Tom Philpott, he's a legend. He writes articles for Mother Jones. He's great.
Yeah, he was an excellent guest. You want me to talk about my article?
Yeah, you got 2 minutes.
All right. So the one I saw was a video on these portable, I guess I would say semi-portable, more so just like small balcony-sized, well, the size that would conveniently like bolt onto a balcony solar panel. And it was by this news group out of Germany called DW, which I'm sure stands for something larger. But the video talked about how
it's antibiotics. They pump these chicks with antibiotics.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying that antibiotics probably don't help the chickens grow. They probably help the chickens stay healthy in a hormone. A growth hormone probably is used for them to have rapid development, both of which could be downstream passed on to humans. I'm a former biology teacher, Nick. You said something that didn't quite add up, and I thought I needed to say it.
No, it's okay. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's what I remember.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying, Nick, is that both of these things can be passed on.
But
you said that the antibiotics were used to make the chickens
to
get
grow.
Bigger.
That's what I remember hearing.
But antibiotics are used for fighting infection. Hormones are used for abnormal growth. That's why Nick's been talking with a deeper voice lately. For all you people that just thought puberty finally hit.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you're right. It doesn't say anything here about making them grow. So, but they do, they,
yeah, you have, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of, or, you know, tens of, or hundreds of thousands of birds, you know, on some of the biggest farms, you know, one bird getting an infection of some kind spread like wildfire. Sure. So antibiotics are a big part of that.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, just to go back to what we were talking about with the large scale meat production, you know, that's more the stuff that I am concerned about. You know, how are these things grown? You know, how are the conditions they're living in? That kind of thing.
I think packing plants are pretty well, they're watched, you know, but it's kind of the system of like, what are we allowed to put into the meat before it gets packed? And,
well, not just that, but, you know, it kind of isn't the best that an animal has to live in those conditions, you know, where it's basically just treated like an ingredient instead of a living sentient thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, solar panels. So folks in Germany are getting these solar panels that they strap onto their balconies. And the big deal is it allows people who are renting like an apartment, they can benefit from using a solar panel. And they're providing up to 15% of their electrical needs, their electrical power needs, which doesn't...
Like, that doesn't feel like that much.
It's not, but it's still something. And then it's just like...
But are you saying they're like very... They're cheap to put up there?
Right. They're pretty inexpensive.
So it's not like a full solar panel.
And the idea is that if you, for one person only supplying 15% of what they need, that's not that big of a deal. But if you had, you know, a ton of people doing that, well, now you start to, as Nick likes to say, move the needle a little bit.
I wonder if this has anything to do with their like oil pipeline or something that they shut down in Germany.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
Like people are looking for alternatives because they're thinking their power bill will go up. That's interesting.
But But you know, I think just people are, they want to participate in a more sustainable or renewable energy program, you know. And so the main question that always gets asked, of course, when you're dealing with an alternative form of energy is, okay, and it's a good question. It's a fair question. I ask this question. Okay, that's great. Glad you're getting 15% savings on the grid. But how much energy is invested into creating and transporting and setting up, and
yeah,
how long does it last? So like, when does that overcome that threshold, that footprint threshold? And they did say it takes about 2 years for one of those panels to, you know,
to, that's not bad. I mean,
no, it's not.
And especially if they last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah. Know? A lot of them last way longer, you know,
yeah,
20 years.
I hope
so. And so, you know, is exciting to see. I think we're going to 30 years from now, which is a scary timeline for me, especially, 30 years from now, I think we're going to be looking at a much, much better product, you know, just with much more efficient solar technology. And I think that's pretty exciting. You know, I think yeah. I think it'll be neat to see how that develops through the next many years. And also a good chance to remind you, you should tune into our recent podcast with Pete Berthelsen.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Of Conservation Blueprint, who talks a lot about how they provide seed for solar fields.
Yeah.
And man, a lot to be happy with there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're looking for seed for solar fields, give us a call. We actually recently posted something on our website, a new page for solar mixes,
because
yeah. we're trying to, as Pete said, we want to put whatever the best habitat we can in every place. So perfect prairie going back on every acre? No, not going to happen. But even, I would argue, some red clover is better than nothing. If you can put prairie, that's miles better.
Red clover is better than smooth brome, people. Yes.
And smooth brome is probably better than corn, but only by like a notch or two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a toss up there.
Well, the soil erosion would be much that's better. True. That's so, true. You know, you got something better going on there. But yeah, man, guys, someone I know here in the area recently told me that they listen to this podcast, and it makes me so nervous because when people like, I was out to lunch with someone, my wife and I and their family and eating some Mexican food. And they're like, yeah, I was listening to a couple podcasts ago. And he mentioned when we talked about your dad's school's window.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I almost, I know, because it makes me think about everything I say on here more. And turns out it means that I say whatever I want. So
Nick needs a filter.
I need one so bad. No. You know what I need? I need Wild Rivers coffee.
That's right.
That would put me on my game. Keep me a little sharper.
Need a set of coffee filters. Need a Chemex. Just had my Wild Rivers this morning.
Yeah, I saw you got your new stuff in.
Yeah, Guatemalan.
Well, yeah.
It's good. I think my favorite so far has been, you want me to rank order them? What my preferences have been?
Yeah. They have five main ones, right?
I would do the Bison bag first, which, by the way, they will be donating proceeds to American Prairie from that.
Oh, that's right.
That's
yeah.
the conservation group that they support there. That, I think, is actually my number one. I liked it. It was a dark roast. Turns out I just like a dark roast. Then I would probably...
Do you put cream in yours? In your coffee ever?
No.
You say it like people who do are a pansy.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm saying it. Quit putting that stuff in your coffee, people. This ain't chocolate milk and milkshakes. It's coffee.
Should be. Coffee. You want hair on your chest? Coffee. You want chips in your bag? Coffee.
Yeah. You know, one of the worst things that happens to me, because I am I try to be a very low maintenance person. When I go through a drive through,
really?
You can screw up my order. As long as I get something, I'm probably going to eat it or drink it.
Yeah.
But one thing I always send back is when they cream and sugar my coffee. Ugh. I hate that. That's just not...
You know, people go, ugh, about just like bland coffee, right?
Yeah,
I know. All the time.
They say that if you like black coffee, it's like a symptom of being a sociopath. So, watch your back, Nick.
Well, something you guys can really do to support us, there's three things.
You didn't let me finish my rank.
Brother, You did Buffalo.
Buffalo. Then what did I say after that?
Guatemala.
No, I didn't. Dang, you're just making this stuff up.
I'm just guessing. I'm going to blow by.
Like a 25% chance, and you just went with it. What a poker face. My goodness.
Welcome. That's who I am.
I like the dark roast. Then I'd say the Colombian. Then I think I would say it's a tough one between the Ethiopian or the Guatemalan. I'd say they're about even. Mm. And so I think the only one I have left to try is the salmon bag. And I'm not sure what roast that is. So stay tuned, because that'll be the next one I purchase.
Yeah.
But all you mugs out there, best be filling your mugs with some Wild River coffee.
It's good stuff. There are three ways you can support us on this podcast. One, you can just tell your friends and share it. Give us a 5-star review. And if you don't want to give us a 5-star review, shoot us an email instead. You know, tell us what we can do better.
Yeah.
Get to the content next time instead of ramble for 8 minutes straight. But second thing that you can do is, if you're looking for native seed, or someone you know is looking for native seed in the Midwest, I did just sell something in Montana here recently.
And
but
Ohio.
I went through another company that was closer to Montana that had Montana natives. And Ohio. Same thing. For the Ohio order. But if you're in the Midwest and you're looking for native seed, we've got you covered, you know. And actually, something that's been on a big uptick is pasture mixes.
Mm-hmm.
People have been reaching out for a few acres here or there. And that's really cool, just to see either we're getting more of a reach out there, or, you know, just kind of the overall mind of the people are starting to care about it. We know that there's been a homestead movement. Well, now the homestead movement's moving into a native movement. I think that's really cool. So first, you can like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Second, you can order some seed. And third, order some Wild Rivers coffee.
That's right.
And order some wild. And we don't get paid more when you order it. Frankly, the deal is it's flat fee. But you can help us, because that helps conservation. And conservation happens one mind at a time.